salvation and life. The Master made answer in words true and plain, he must be born again. He must be born again. He must be born again. I verily, verily say unto thee, he must be born again.
Hello and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
Glad you tuned into the broadcast again this time. We're picking up our study in Luke 18. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, verse number 31. The rich young ruler has just come to the Lord wanting to have that security of eternal life. Jesus tells him he needs him. He needs the Lord Jesus Christ. Not the things of this world that he's trusting in and resting in, but he needs Jesus. Peter chimes in and said, well, we did what you said. We have followed you. What shall we have? The Lord says, my economy is beyond what you can even imagine. You'll gain even hundredfold of all that you leave and lay down and make secondary. And let me say this, the Lord is not looking for someone that's saved to be derelict towards their wife or their children. But the thing is that the Lord Jesus and what he declares and what he commands that we are to pursue in our lives and our homes needs to become number one, not number two, but number one. Even when it conflicts with our wife, even when it conflicts with our children. And the best thing is when a family is united around and dedicated to the Word of God such that all understand that. We're not going to put ourselves first. We're going to put the Lord first. And what he says is going to be number one. And so now, and in the Lord's economy, you gain in the things of life by virtue of your brothers and sisters and relationships that we have there, with those that we have kinship in Christ with. And you know what? I dare say that we know it's so that what they have is at the disposal of the children of God for the need that they have and in the day that they need it. And so I don't have to own it. And if I need it, the Lord will provide it, and he will may very well provide it through my brothers and sisters in Christ. And so, just a wonderful thing, and we just glance across that, the Lord's economy there in those verses. Verse number 31, Luke 18, verse number 31. Then he took unto him the 12, that is the 12 apostles, and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spitted on, and they shall scourge him, and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. There are those that say and declare that Jesus Christ, he was a good guy, a prophet indeed, and he went around doing some exceptional things, some miracles, and you know what? Things just kind of got haywire at the end of his life, and he got trouble with the leadership of the Jews, he got in trouble with the Roman government, and it cost him his life. Really sad there what happened to Jesus, they would say. Such a good guy. And just that mischief befell him. Well, it's not true, is it? No, it's not true at all. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God, having come to do and face full well what he sent of the Father to do. And Jesus begins to tell his disciples, his apostles, this because he's going to have to teach them, and they're going to have to receive it, and the church is going to have to receive it, and they're going to have to remember it At the time of the Lord Jesus' crucifixion and his dying and being buried and laying there in the grave for 3 days and three nights, I mean, the church is going to be beside themselves. And so Jesus is very plain. We're going to Jerusalem. That's where we're going. And he said, fellas, all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man, which is himself, and he identifies with us in that way, with mankind. He's separate from sinners, but he is a man. And he will fulfill all that man has been commanded by God to do for man. He said, but it's written by the prophets. It's been declared hundreds of years, centuries before what the Lord Jesus Christ would come and do. It's no secret. Things may have been hard to understand, and there may have been some things prophesied that were more difficult to understand that they pertain to the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior. But certainly in retrospect, we can understand and know that it was speaking strictly about him. So he says here, it starts off, fellas, what the prophets have prophesied concerning the Son of Man, it's going to be done. And that's the way the Lord does. If he prophesies it, he completes it. Number two, he says here, in that, he's going to be delivered to the Gentiles, which is the Romans. And they're the ones that put him to death directly. He shall be mocked. And the Jews did that while he hung on the cross and even before. The soldiers did that while the Lord was in the praetorium, and they put him in the purple robe and plaited the crown of thorns and put a reed in his hand and smote him with it and such as that. He'll be mocked. He'll be made fun of as being the king of the Jews. Spitefully entreated. He should have never been treated the way that he was treated, but he was spitefully. They hated him. The Jews, the leadership of the Jews, hated our Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, they spitefully entreated him. It says in John chapter 1, he came unto his own. The Lord Jesus is a Jew, and his own received him not. They spitefully entreated him. The King of glory, Son of glory, come down and enduring such contradiction of sinners against himself. He said he's going to be spitefully entreated. He's going to be spit upon. And I tell you what, no doubt the disciples, the apostles, no doubt that would stir an anger and an ire in them for them to think of someone spitting on their master, their rabbi, their teacher, their leader. But he's going to be spit upon. And he was there on the cross and before in the Sanhedrin. And they shall scourge him. They're going to whip him. Cat of nine tails, a Roman instrument of cruelty and pain. 39 stripes, 40 stripes save one, 39 stripes, and they're going to lay the torso and body of the Lord Jesus Christ open to where his bones show out of his back and his ribs. They're going to peel the hide off of him. Not kill him, but peel the hide off of his back and his stomach. They're going to scourge him, a dreaded thing, and put him to death. They're going to kill him. They're going to do everything that they can to kill him. And of course, there is that sense that they did put the Lord to death and that they put him on the cross, and he suffered all the things that the Romans threw at him, that Herod threw at him, and that Pilate's centurions and centurion and guard did there from the Praetorium on the Golgotha's Hill. They slew the Lord. Yet it is true that our Lord Jesus Christ did not die until it was time for him to die. He gave up the ghost. He yielded up the ghost, the scripture says. He kept his body alive even beyond what a body could endure until it was time to die, everything being right on time. And he says this, which is a wondrous thing. He says this, and the third day he shall rise again. And I've been mentioning this at the jail recently, and in recent times. It's been sometimes for months. But, you know, if I would tell you that, well, tomorrow night, Wednesday night, I'm going to die. Wednesday afternoon, I'm going to die. And then I'll see you Sunday morning. If I declared such a thing, indeed, you would laugh me to scorn, because you and I both know that when we die, when men, women, boys, and girls die, we don't come back to life again. Now, I understand about people's heart stopping and then being able to stop them. I understand about children falling in frozen lakes and then they could get fish them out of there in 30 minutes or 45 minutes and restore them to life and such as that. But I'm talking about as a normal course, and today and all the thousands of people that died across the world, there's no expectation for them to come back to life, because on par, men and women, boys and girls, when they die, they're dead and they don't come back. But this Jesus, he said, verse number 33, you got your Bible there, read it for yourself, Luke 18:33, there in the second part of that verse, and the third day he shall rise again, the Son of Man shall rise again. Jesus declared that after he died, put him to death, after 3 days and three nights, he'll rise again from the dead. And it's plain there. This Jesus is in control of everything. And he tells this to his disciples during the course of those days and even hours before he goes. Betrayed, and the Jews come and take him. He tells them in so many words, even though I am dead, I'm still in charge of this. it's still okay, even though I'm dead. And he tells them here, he begins to tell them, he says, I'm going to be put to death, and the third day I'm going to rise again. What a Savior. It says in verse number 34, and this is the way it is with sinners. This is the way it is. We need the Lord to enlighten us. And they understood none of these things. And this saying was hid from them. Neither knew they the things which were spoken. The Lord told them plainly. It's written down plainly in the scriptures. But they didn't get it. And that's the way it is today. Sinners don't get it. You know how they can get it? By churches like ours and ministers like me preaching the gospel and the word of God Almighty, of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord taking it and opening a heart. And we praying that our Lord would be merciful and open up a heart that they might hear and that they might see. And that they might know. Now, yes, these brethren are saved. Now, Judas is not saved. He is the traitor. Jesus knows all about that. And they're there at the cusp of this. You know, it's very easy for you and me to look back on the fulfillment of the gospel of Jesus and just understand how it all fit together, because we're looking backwards. These fellows are in real time. They're right there and even looking forward. And it's just hid from them until it's revealed of the Lord, and he does that, and the scriptures tell as much as we go on through the Gospels. What kind of Savior do you have? You have the Lord Jesus Christ? I tell you what, there's no other Savior but him. He's trustable. He's faithful. He's loving. He's compassionate. He tells the truth. And he came to save sinners like you and me. And if you're not saved, repent of your sins. And believe and trust in him and his death, burial, and resurrection for the salvation of your soul, the forgiveness of your sins, and the granting to you by him of eternal, everlasting life. I see that our time has passed for now. May our good Lord bless you with the good word and truth of his gospel. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn on to State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you'll find our church house on the right, just beside Whipple Reel Creek. We are interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.